Good to be with you again this evening. I want you to know that I truly appreciate the ability to be in Sioux City, to study with the folks there and to encourage them in the things that they're doing. I know it takes me away a lot, but I appreciate it so much, the effort that you make in allowing me that opportunity, and I just want you to know how much I appreciate that. We have decided this year to do a monthly topic instead of having the same topic the whole year. And this month it's reading, right? Well, that's good because that's what I plan to talk about tonight. Reading God's Word is vital. There have been, in my experience over the years, individuals who ignore the Old Testament, stress the New Testament, and I think and I agree that we are under the New Testament, but there's so much for us to learn from the Old Testament. God didn't just reveal the Old Testament for the Jews. Those things are still available for us, and they are vital for us to have a glimpse into the character that God would have us to have even today. And I think it's vital for us. In Revelation 1 and in verse 3, the writer says, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near." The idea here, read, hear, keep those things that are necessary. These things are important. This God's Word is valuable. And so we want to stress tonight for a little while these three aspects of things that are revealed here in this third verse in Revelation 1. God has always wanted His people to read His Word or to know His Word. And it didn't really make any difference what period of time. In Exodus 24 and verse 7, Exodus 24 and verse 7, it says that Moses took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of all the people, and they said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient." He read everything that God had given him so that they would know the requirements that God had. In Joshua 8 and verses 34 and 35, again, we find a like thing. Joshua is reading the Word of God. It says, "Then afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the curse, according to all that was written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel with the women and little ones and the strangers who were living among them." The very idea that they read it to everyone. Everyone got the opportunity to hear God's Word because it's important. The only way to be able to keep God's Word, to be obedient to God's Word, is to know what God's Word says. Whether you read it yourself or someone reads it to you. In 2 Kings, when Josiah has, in chapter 22, when Josiah is king, there's a renovation of the temple. And amazingly, in verse 8, we find that they found the book of the law. I want you to think, this, for some great period of time, this has always impressed me. And I always wonder, is this one of the reasons that Israel digressed so greatly from God? Because they found the book of the law while they were renovating the temple. God's book is lost in His house. Think about that. Just dwell on that for a moment. How horrible. That would be like me losing my Bible in my house. How am I going to be able to read God's Word if I can't find it? How could the priests fulfill their responsibility to read the God's Word to the people if you don't have it? And the very idea that it's lost in God's house. Just think of the problems that could happen. and in fact did happen. In fact, when the Israelites returned from Babylonian captivity, Ezra read the book of the law before the people from morning to evening in Nehemiah the 8th chapter, reminding them of all the things that they should be doing and ought to be doing. And in fact, there's one place in there where while he's reading, they are crying. Sorrow has overcome them because of these things. In Acts 13 and in verse 27, for those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers recognize neither him nor the utterance of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled these by condemning him. Here are individuals who the apostle is condemning because they did not recognize the things that they should have recognized from the reading of the law every Sabbath day in the synagogues. And as a result, they ended up fulfilling the will of God and condemning Jesus Christ. Think about this in Colossians 4, and when Paul's writing to the Colossians in verse 16, he says, when this letter is read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and you, for your part, read my letter that is coming from Laodicea. Whether that's a letter that was written to Laodicea or was some other letter that Paul wrote, we do not know. But there was importance in reading those things, to know the will of God. Again, in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 27, Paul says, I adjure you by the Lord to have this letter read to all the brethren. God's people need to know His Word. They need to read it. It needs to be a part of our daily lives. Last year, Cheryl and I did a daily Bible reading. We have a daily Bible reading Bible. And we used that last year to read through the Bible. We're going to do something a little bit different this year. We're going to do some individual books and spend a little more time reading them and rereading them. It's important to reread God's Word over and over again. I can't think of the number of things that I have seen that I didn't see the first time going through a book. So beneficial. In fact, I think we were studying Jeremiah on Monday night, and it wasn't too long ago that we were in a particular chapter, off the top of my head, I don't remember which one, but here's something that stuck out that I had somehow missed all of those times before, and I'm 66 years old and I missed something. Well, when I'm 96, maybe I'll still be finding new things. That's the way God's Word works. That's why it's so important to read God's Word, to pay attention to those things. Just think about it. The emphasis in all of those passages we just mentioned is reading and knowing God's Word. In fact, Paul to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 13 says, until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. The public reading. Not everybody could read. So it was important that it was publicly read so that people knew what God's Word said. Just think about this. There are many young people coming out of high school that are not able to read. What a tragedy that you go through 12 grades of school and at the end of it, you can't read. How sad. How sad. We're taking away from young people the opportunity to actually know what God's Word said without someone else reading it to them. We need to be readers of God's will. It needs to be a practice. It needs to be a habit in our lives. The only way we can possibly know when we err from God's Word. In fact, think about it. Isn't that really what the psalmist is saying when he said that he meditated on God's Word day and night? He had to have read it or heard it read and then thought about it. I really can't contemplate what God is telling me without having the opportunity to hear what God has to say or read it for myself. And we live in such a technological age. There's no reason. The Bible is available everywhere. You can even get it on disc, and you can put it in your car's player and listen to it as you're driving down the road. Listen to God's Word being read by some professional, right? Sounds so good. Just keeping... How much better is that than some of the junk that they put on the radio anyway? Some of the sick and twisted and godless lyrics that are in the songs of today. How much better to fill your mind with God's Word. Notice here also in Revelation 1 that he talks about hearing. Hearing, read and hear. Hearing is essential to knowing what God expects. Hearing has to do with listening so as to understand what is said. It's not, you know, I was thinking, there are times that Cheryl will say something to me and I'll miss it. I've heard her voice, but I didn't understand. So I really haven't heard her, have I? That's exactly the idea here. To hear is to understand what is being communicated. The command to hear is summed up in Moses' words to Israel in Deuteronomy 5 in verse 1, where he says, "Then Moses summons all Israel and said to them, 'Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the ordinances which I am speaking today in your hearing, that you may learn them and observe them carefully.'" We need to be careful in observing what God said so that we can learn them. Hearing them is essential in learning and being obedient to them. Without such, we cannot really please God. Or what Joshua says in Joshua 3 and verses 9 and 10. He says, "Come, hear, and hear the word of the Lord our God." And Joshua said, "But this you shall know." You will know. There's a number of times when God says, "You will know that I am the Lord." That comes from reading His Word. We know that He is the Lord. In Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 11, the preacher says, "Guard your steps as you go to the house of God, and draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know that they are doing evil." When I read this, when I thought about this passage, one thing came to mind. King Saul and Samuel came to mind. Remember, King Saul had been told to go and utterly destroy the Amalekites. And he come back from that and he tells Samuel, "I've carried out the command of the Lord." And Samuel says, "Well, what's the lowing of the oxen and the bleating of the sheep I hear in my ear?" "Well, the people..." Please understand, I'm just paraphrasing. The people wanted to sacrifice to God, and Samuel's response is what? "It is better to obey than sacrifice." And I think that really emphasizes what Solomon says here in this passage. "For they do not know they are doing evil." Listen and obey. Because if you don't obey, your worship is worthless. There's no point to worship if you're not obedient. I think that's what Samuel's telling Saul, and I believe that's exactly what Solomon is saying here. Guard your steps on the way to worship God. Be careful the kind of life you live. Live an obedient life so that when you go to worship, that it's not vain worship. Because you don't know that you're doing evil. To go to God's house ready to hear with a receptive attitude rather than telling God what He needs to do. A lot of times we get in the attitude that we can just tell God what we need and what we want, and then He needs to just carry through. No, we need to come to God's house and say, "Lord, Your servants hear. Speak. I obey. I'm ready to do those things that you want. But there is also a need to be cautious when we are hearing, when we listen to what is being said. In Mark 4, in verse 24, Jesus says, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it shall be measured to you, and more shall be given to you besides. Notice also in John 8 and verse 32, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, this is verse 31. If you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you're truly disciples of Jesus, you will know the truth. And that truth can set you free. In Romans 10 and verse 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The only way to have faith, the faith that saves, is to hear what God has to say and to understand those things. But then think about what's said in Luke 8 and verse 18 by Jesus. Notice there in Mark 4, he said, take care what you hear. But in Luke 8 and verse 18, he says, take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. We've got to be careful what we hear and how we hear it. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. That's what the children of Israel said to Moses when he read the law, didn't it? We will be obedient. And they begin to digress from that moment onward. How truly sad. How truly sad. We need to be careful what we hear, but how we hear it as well. In James 1 and verse 19, James says, this you knew, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Another good verse. Quick to hear. Listen to what is said. One of our greatest problems in conversing with one another is when someone is speaking to us, we are trying to respond before they finish saying something. I see that in myself. I see it in others all the time. You must truly listen, contemplate what's said, and then respond. Listening is paying attention to what the other individual said. I can't be calculating in my mind what I'm going to respond when I haven't heard everything that's going to be said. Can I? No, it's not possible, is it? In fact, I wonder at times when I read this passage, if we really listened, contemplated what was said, and then responded, will we not get rid of anger altogether? Something to think about, isn't it? It absolutely is. And notice, there were some who refused to hear. In Acts 3, there is a lame man who is at the temple, and he is healed by the apostle, by Peter. And in Acts 4, the apostles have been arrested. They've been brought before the Sanhedrin, and they are demanding in verse 7 that they tell them how this man stands, by what authority, by what power this man stands in this condition before them. The Sadducees not only fail to hear, but refuse the evidence in Acts 4 and verses 14 through 22. Because they tell them that it was by the name of Jesus Christ that this man stood, or the name of Jesus the Nazarene, that this man stood there well before them. They send them out, and then they conference among themselves, and they indicate, they understand that a notable miracle has been done. There is no denying it. And so what are we going to do? Well, it's kind of like having the evidence right here in front of you, smacking you in the face, and you say, I don't care what the evidence is. I'm going to decide to do this. And that's exactly what they did. They called them back in and they command them to preach no more in the name of Jesus. They threaten them and then send them out. They want to know how this man stands well. They tell him by the name of Jesus the Nazarene. They ignore the command, they ignore the word of God, and they ignore the evidence that's standing right before them. That's an unwilling heart to hear. And what happens when you're unwilling to hear? Your soul is going to be lost. I would rather be like the people on the day of Pentecost in Acts the second chapter and verse 37 when they heard the preaching of the apostles, and it tells us that they were pierced to the heart. They weren't made joyful. They were made sorrowful. And they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" That's a completely different attitude than we find in Acts the 7th chapter when Stephen is speaking and they become enraged at him and they stone him to death, isn't it? Oh, or to be like the Bereans in Acts 17 and verse 11 where it tells us that they were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica. For they received the word with great eagerness and examining the scripture daily to see whether these things were so. That's the kind of hearer I want to be. I want to be one who listens to what is said, and then I want to examine it according to the scriptures to make sure it's the right thing. You see, you got to be careful what you hear and how you hear it. And then I want to be a person who keeps that word that I've heard. Or that I've read. In fact, we are to be a keeping people. The idea of keeping in the Bible is to hold fast to it or to retain. It involves observing and practicing. In fact, the things that we do on the first day of the week are because of what God has said in His Word. There was all kinds of keeping to be done in the Old Testament. Passover was one of those things that was to be kept. That the children of Israel so often failed to do. In Exodus 12 and verses 48. Exodus 12 and verse 48. "But if a stranger sojourns with you and celebrates the Passover to the Lord, let his males be circumcised and let him come near to celebrate it. And if he is like a native of the land, but no uncircumcised person may eat of it." In Deuteronomy 16 verse 1. We read, "Observe the month of Abib and celebrate the Passover to the Lord your God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of out of Egypt by night." In verse 12 then, it says, "And you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and you shall be careful to observe these statutes." Here's the purpose of the Passover. It is to be a reminder every year of the fact that they were removed from Egypt where they had been slaves. It was a reminder. Got to be keeping these things as a reminder. This is like the Lord's Supper. It is a reminder every week of what God has done for man in saving his soul. The Sabbath also in Exodus 20 and verse 8, among the Ten Commandments, to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. One of the interesting things about that passage is that it does not say which Sabbath does it. So many, when it comes to the Lord's Supper, want to ignore the fact that it doesn't give us a specific day of the week or a specific time or specific monthly observance of it. It simply tells us in Acts 20 and verse 7 that they did it on the first day of the week. I believe the correlation is that they observed not just one Sabbath a month or every other Sabbath a month, but they observed every Sabbath. Not standard reason that we reason exactly the same way when it comes to the Lord's Supper. In Leviticus 19 and verse 3, "Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths." I am the Lord your God. Reverence your mother and father. And keep the Sabbath. That's what God said in the Old Testament. What's he saying in the New Testament? Well, he tells us that there is a value in keeping his statutes. Look at Luke 8 and verse 15. Here in the parable of the soils, or in the sower, or however you want to look at it. And the seed is the good soil. These are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. They hold it hard, they hold it fast in their heart. They keep it. They observe that. They do it. They follow through with those things. In fact, in James 1, in verse 27, James says that pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God and the Father is to visit the orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Unstained. Not blemished. Here's my reason for being different than the world, so that I can be the kind of person that God would have me to be. In fact, in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 22, Paul says to Timothy, "Do not lay hands upon anyone too hastily, and thus share responsibility for the sins of others. Keep yourself free from sin." Keep yourself free from sin. Be unspotted. Be unblemished by the things of the world. And love is a motivating factor in keeping the Word of God. In John 14 and verse 23, "If anyone loves me," Jesus says, "he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." In Jude 1 and verse 21, Jude says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life." Again, John in 1 John 2 and verse 3 says, "And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments." Notice the continual effort to teach and to correlate the idea of keeping or practicing those things that God has revealed. God's word closes with the admonition of keeping. In Revelation 16 and verse 15, "Behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his garments, lest he walk about naked and men see his shame." Jesus is going to come like a thief. The one will be happy who stays awake. That is, he stays alert. He's watching. He's prepared. And he keeps his garments unspotted from the world. Revelation 2 and verse 26. "And he who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations." To him who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds, keeps my commands. Revelation 22 and verse 7. "And behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book." Heeding God's word. Every one of us needs to know God's Word. We need every day to spend some time. And I'm not saying that you've got to read through the Bible every year. That's not what I'm suggesting. But we need to spend time with it. We need to spend a little time with it. In fact, pick out half a dozen verses and just read them and then do what the psalmist said. Meditate on them. Think on them. Contemplate. How does this apply to me? How will this help me to make my life better in my service to God? How will this help me to help someone else make their life better in service to God? You see, there are all kinds of things that we can come up with when we read God's Word. We just simply need to apply ourselves to finding out what God expects of us. And whether it's in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, we need to read it and we need to contemplate how it may affect us and how it may help us to be better servants. Every one of us needs to read God's Word. We need to hear it. And then we need to keep it. Be obedient to it. Is your life what it should be? Have you been reading God's Word? Have you been listening to what God says? And are you obeying it? If not, you have an opportunity this very night to change that thing. You may need just simply to repent and confess, and God will forgive. We will be happy to pray with you. You may need to be baptized into Christ. Whatever it is that you need, don't put it off. Our life is so fleeting. Driving to Sioux City this morning. I don't know. I saw three or four cars off in the ditch, and I know that there have been, because I could see the evidence of it, there have been a whole lot more cars off in the ditches. I found out this morning when I went to Sioux City there were two young people killed going to school this last week. 18-year-old and a 14-year-old. How sad. How sad. We just simply don't know how much time we have left in this life. But we do know this, that however we have lived will be called into question by our God. And we will have to give an account. What kind of an account will you give? Won't you come as we stand and sing?